This morning, folks, as we take a look at the first Sunday of Advent, you know, it's a time that we have the opportunity, as the video said a while ago, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to come to Christ. It's an invitation to make everything new with Christ. This past week, me and Tammy were sitting there one night looking at Fox Nation, and there was a special on there, 30-minute show, I think it was, about John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. And as I was watching that show of John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus, it's a movie. I mean, it's never completely 100% the way I would have made it. But anyway, they're smarter than me, you know. But it's good. It's good. It gives you something to think about. Hope some of y'all may have saw it. But as we was watching that, and I was watching John the Baptist as he prepared the way for Jesus to come, and as I was thinking about his message, you know, really, he didn't really have a big sermon to preach. He didn't really have a lot of things to be talking about. He had not met Jesus. He had heard of Jesus, and he had been with Jesus in his mother's womb, but he had not really met Jesus. Yet, when they come together in the Jordan, he knew who Jesus was. He knew exactly who Jesus was. It's through the Holy Spirit that's offered to us. You know, so many times, folks, as we hear Jesus being the prophet, we don't think about at Christmas Jesus being the prophet, the priest, or the king. We don't think about all of that. We think about Jesus as being in a manger. We think about Jesus as being the baby. And that's true. He was born at Christmas. He was born to come into the world to be our Savior. But if you stop and you think about the prophet of Christ being the prophet and all of the prophecy that was prepared for him above and beyond, we're going to go back into Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, and start there as Moses was talking about Jesus coming. But when we talk about John the Baptist, as we move up into the New Testament, John was like on this movie. He was in the middle of the Jordan and people were gathered. And he was saying to the people, repent. Repent of your sin. Come and be baptized. People knew a little about what was being said and what was going on. But folks, they didn't know anything like we know today. They had very little knowledge of who Jesus was and who the Messiah really was. Today, we've heard it all of our lives. And those people came to be baptized. They were responding to God's to John's message. And Jesus was in there, and he came. And so when you stop and you think about us as Christians, us as a nation, us as a world, folks, there's very few places that hasn't heard about Jesus. There's some, but they're very few. And yet, how many of us really respond to Jesus? We hear about him. We really don't desire a new life in Jesus. At one point in my life, I had known about Jesus all my life, heard about Jesus all my life, but I did not want or desire to give my life to Christ 100%, because that would mean everything would change. Everything would change. It's hard. It's very hard to do. It's very hard to give up a life that you know for Jesus. But folks, it is so worth it. And this Christmas, as we come and we look at the all of the readings and the things that will be going on this month, and we're trying to bring Jesus into being the focus of this month more and more each year, where you will see and understand and have this desire to be more like Christ. And when you stop and when you think about it, and Moses was prophesying just about Jesus just as much as John the Baptist was prophesying about him. Just as much as God had said that he would bring the Messiah to us. All throughout the scripture, we see this, throughout the prophets. Let's look at Deuteronomy 18, just get started with some scripture here. And we'll start with the 15th verse, I believe, is where we're at here. So it says, Moses continued, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." I want you to hear those words right there, folks. You must listen to him. "For this is what you yourselves requested of the Lord your God when you were assembled at Mount Sinai. You said, 'Don't let us hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, or see this blazing fire, for we will die.' Then the Lord said to me, 'What they have said is right. I will raise up a prophet like you from among your fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell the people everything I commanded him.'" Where are we at? At the 19th verse? Okay, we'll quit right there. "Everything I have commanded him." So, folks, we'll take just a minute to look at this scripture before we move over into Acts, the third chapter. So, as we take a minute to look at this scripture, we see that Moses, God has spoke to Moses, and he says, "The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from among your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." What happened in Matthew, the 17th chapter? Jesus took Peter, James, and John. That scripture's not up there. But anyway, it won't be up there, but we'll talk about it just for a second. Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. He was transfigured, and God spoke, and he says, let's read it. It's better if we read it than if I talk about it and tell you, huh? I think I marked it. So he took him up on the mountain. And it says, 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain to be alone. And as the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as the light. And suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, "Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But even as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And the voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved son, who brings me great joy. Listen to him." And the disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. You see, folks, as we hear this, Moses had just told the Israelite people what God had said. And it said, "Listen to him." This is what God is saying to him here in Matthew 17. Listen to him. Because it is what Jesus is prophesying that is correct. Listen to him, folks, when you hear God speak to you. Listen to him. People say, "Well, God don't speak to you like that anymore, Mike." I guarantee you, if you bring yourself to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you invite him into your life and you live for him, you will hear this still small voice throughout your life. I've heard it several times, and I know when I hear it that it is 100% God that is telling me, "You can do it your way, Mike, or you can do it my way." And it's always worked better when I've done it his way. I guarantee you. I've heard this a few times in my life, a few times. But we move on to Acts, the third chapter. And as we move to the third chapter, we'll start with the 17th verse. And let's look at this scripture as well, and then we'll move on into the message. It says, "Friends, I realize that what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you." Then Moses said, "Anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people." Starting with Samuel, every prophet spoke about what is happening today. You are the children of those prophets, and you are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, through your descendants, all the families on earth will be blessed. And when God raised up his servant, Jesus, he sent him first to the people of Israel to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Folks, as we hear the reading of this word, and we've heard the reading of the Old Testament this morning, we continue to see that this, what Moses had prophesied, we're seeing right here, is coming true. It has already come true in the book of Acts. It's beginning to be fulfilled, God's prophecy, all the way through the Bible's being fulfilled. Peter is had a crowd drawn. He had a lame man there, and he healed him. And the people were, some couldn't believe it, some wouldn't believe it, and some did believe it. But Peter said, "Look, it's not me. It's not Mike. It's not Brian. It's not any of us here. It is Jesus Christ that has healed this man." He took no credit for it, folks. He was able to heal this man because he had faith in Jesus Christ. It was through his faith and through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his acceptance of Jesus Christ that he had the opportunity to heal this man. And so there we are, and Peter's come up to we're at the 17th verse, and he said, "Friends, I realize that you and your leader did not, that your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance." It's been done in ignorance. I know you folks. Y'all are not these people that just totally despise Jesus Christ. What you have done has been done because you did not know any different. Part of my life, folks, I knew, but I didn't know. I've done a lot of things against Jesus Christ that I'd basically done in ignorance because I knew just enough to be dangerous. It's what Daddy always told me. You know just enough, boy, to be dangerous. And that's kind of how we live our lives a lot of times. We know enough, but we don't know it all. And so he's saying, you, even though you've done it in ignorance, if you will come, Jesus Christ will forgive you of your sins. It's what John the Baptist was saying. Come. Come, repent of your sin and be baptized. So this is what we're seeing. People were ignorant then to the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. He had been killed. They were the ones, these people right here, were the ones that had desired for him to be killed. And Peter's saying, no matter whether you were there and whether you were part of that crowd or not, you can have forgiveness. You ever think that your life is on such a turn, it's on such a downward spiral that you can't have forgiveness for your sin? I've thought that. I've thought there's no way that he would even want me to be around him. You know, you get to a point, you get so low in your life, folks. You get to a point where you think about, I quit thinking about hanging out with Brian because he don't want to be around me. I know because of the way that I act, the way that I think, the way that I do. But then I begin to think about Jesus. If Brian don't want to be around me, and Eddie don't want to be around me, and Kenny don't want to be around me, then there's something going on. And if I'm that bad to be around, if I'm really that bad a person, what would Jesus want with me? why in the world do I think that I could come to him and he would accept me? Because of this hope that we have. The hope that we've read about this morning. We have hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have 100%, we're 100% guaranteed that he will accept us if we repent of our sin and turn to him. That's awesome, folks. That's awesome. And because he allowed me to come to him, because he allowed me to repent of my sin, to reflect back upon my life, to decide if that's the way I want to live my life, he gives me this choice. Is this the way you want to live your life, Mike? Or is this the way that you're going to live your life? You're going to live it with me and for me? Or are you going to be apart from me? And because you choose to be reconciled with Christ, he offers you this forgiveness. Isn't that the most awesome Christmas present that we could ever hope for this year? The most awesome, folks. But you know, this week, I guess I do too much thinking when I'm sitting around. I'm going down the road, especially when I've got a windshield in front of me, I really do some good thinking. And when I'm going down the road and I'm thinking, this week I was thinking, you know, really and truly, Mike, you try to live a good life, which you don't have to try because it's grace. We are saved by grace, not by our trying. And I was asking myself all these questions, and I said, you try. You don't really do it. But it's by grace, Mike, that you have the opportunity to come to me. It's by grace that I love you. It's not by your works. It's not by anything that you're going to be doing. Anything that you can try all you want to, and you'll never live up to what you should. I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking, yeah, but Lord, you know, I'm not that good a person. I'm really not. Mike, what did I just say? It's by grace. But I'm a hypocrite. Mike, get off of that track. Get off that road. That's a rough road. You can be over here on 140 and it's a lot smoother. Get over here. Get off that side road. Because it's by grace. You see, folks, everything that you can think, everything that you dream up, we begin to hear other people, we begin to hear the old devil tell us, you're not what you think you are, dude. No, you know what? I'm not. The good Lord knows that. But it's one thing for sure. I'm saved by the grace of God. That I know. And that is the reason he allows me to be Mike and to be who I am in the Lord. Yes, do we need to try to do good? Yes, we do. It's hard, folks. It's hard to live in the world that we live in. It's hard to be here and do everything like we feel like we should. Because at the end of the day, at the end of this day, if you take an account of what you've lived through today and what you've done today, how you really felt about yourself today when you lay down, it's probably not going to be real good. If it is real good, then you're probably not on the right track. You're on a bumpy road. You probably need to be on your knees before the Lord because you're giving yourself credit. You see, Peter didn't give himself any credit. He had been the worst of the worst. Peter had done everything against the Lord. But God being the prophet that he was, Jesus being the prophet that he was, what did he tell Peter? He told him everything he was going to do before he done it. Everything he was going to do, he told him. Peter said, no, Lord, you're wrong about that. Oh, no, he wasn't wrong. The only difference in me and Peter is he doesn't tell me a whole lot about what I'm going to do. I just do stupid stuff, and then I have to come and ask forgiveness for it. That's for sure. You know, so many times, folks, we encounter people, we handle some people very well. We handle people that we know are lost in a way that we should let our light shine. We handle people the way that they see that we are a Christian, a child of God. And then there's times we don't do that, do we? We just don't do it. Now, why we don't do it, I don't know. I can't tell you that. I told Tammy here the other day, she's the only person I've mentioned it to so far, but I'll tell y'all too. I was at Casey's. I went in to get me a cup of coffee and use the restroom, get me a cup of coffee, and get me an apple fritter. They got good apple fritters. And I'm in there, and I look around, and I told Tammy, I said, I'm not sure that anybody saw this man. There was a man standing here beside me, and he never said a word to me. And I had a feeling come over me that I've only had one other time in my life. What do I say to this man? What does he need? What is it that I don't need to say to this man? Folks, I don't know how to explain this, but this man was right beside me. And he was like right here, and I'm over here getting some coffee, and I continue to look at him out of the corner of my eye. I look at everybody. I watch everybody. And I'm looking at him, and he has no reaction at all to anything I'm doing. He's standing there like he could use a cup of coffee. He's standing there like, I would like to have an apple fritter. He's standing there like, are you going to talk to me or are you not going to talk to me? I went on, got my stuff, and I turned around. He's standing at the door. As you come in the door, he's on the left-hand side of the door. And he's standing there like this. He hasn't said a word yet. And I looked at him, and I thought, well, I'll go over and say something to him. I was doing there getting my stuff paid for. When I turned around, he's moved over to this side of the door, and he's standing there like this. For some reason, I never said a word to that man. Not one word was spoken between me and him. And that's probably been 3 weeks ago, and that has haunted me every day since then. God put that man there for some reason. I don't know that man. I don't know who he was, where he come from. I've never seen him before in my life, and I've looked for him, and I haven't seen him again because I'd love to have a conversation with him. But I probably won't ever get that opportunity. But that day, he put that man there for me. Now, why couldn't I speak to him? Why couldn't I say something to him? Y'all know me. I don't have a problem saying anything to anybody. I mean, we was talking about somebody last night, and Tammy said, well, I didn't ask. I said, well, if this lady wasn't in the witness protection program, then you should have known all about her. I'd been the first question. You in the witness protection program? She'd have said, yes, I am. I said, okay, I don't need to know nothing about you. But if she'd said no, I'd said, all right, I need to find out about your life. That's just the way I normally operate. But that day I didn't, folks. That day I didn't. And you see, I missed something, or that man missed something. I don't know which one of us missed our blessing, but one of us did. That's for sure. I guarantee you. But God, he puts things in our life and people in our life, and we question sometimes, why are these things the way they are? But the thing is, folks, if we don't turn from our sins and turn to God, then we will never, ever see these people. We will never, ever know their needs. Very few of the people, if you go to Cases or you go to the Shell station, you go anywhere you want to, very few of the people coming in and out are recognizing anybody else. Very few of the people, they're just in and out, in and out, in and out all day long. But when you have that Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives within us, when you've made that decision to live for the Lord, when you've made that reconciliation, when you have decided that I'm going to repent of my sin, truly repent of my sin and live for the Lord, then we see things a whole lot different. A whole lot different. Moses said that the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. We read that in Deuteronomy 18 just a minute ago. And he says, listen carefully to everything he tells you. Folks, so many times when Jesus is telling me things, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it at all. Not at all. And he tells me these things, and I'm thinking, no, Lord, I don't think that's the way I want to hear it. That's not what I'm interpreting you as saying. So we have to know and understand that he tells us things just as we were told in the time of Peter and in the times of Moses. Our hope is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, folks. It tells us right here in the 23rd verse, it says, anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people. Completely cut off from God's people. Folks, this Christmas season, God offers us the greatest package, the greatest gift that we could ever receive. But will we take it? Will we try to buy it from the Lord? Will we try to say, all right, Lord, I know you prophesied that you were going to send us a Messiah, a Savior. And now that you have, can I give you something back for that Jesus has gone through? Just like I had that conversation going down the road with myself. The devil causes you to have those conversations. Can I give back to you something? Yes, you can. You sure can, Mike. You can give me your life, your whole life, your undivided attention. And folks, that's not what we desire and what we want so many times. Yesterday, I had a lot of things I needed to do, and I got tied up with the family, and I was there all day long, working with them. That was not what I had on my plan. That was not how I had my day laid out. But that's the way my day ended up. The other night, I had Brandon helping me. It wasn't what Brandon and myself had planned on doing at 6 or 7 o'clock at night, but we were, weren't we, Brandon? And it was all good. It was all good. It was enjoyable. It was a wonderful time. Me and Brandon was having together, talking about the Lord and coon dogs and everything else running around under our feet, but that was where we was at, wasn't it, Brandon? And it was a time that needed, that it had to be done. Had to be done. Folks, it's up to us this Christmas season to hear God's word. He prophesies today to his people just like he did then. And he says, you are the children of those prophets. And if you are included in the covenant, God promised to your ancestors. For God said to Abraham, through your descendants, all the families on earth will be blessed. Folks, I can guarantee you 100%, God will bless you. Maybe not in the way that you want. Maybe not in $100 bills or, something in the way of worldly things. But God will bless you. He will bless you in ways that you can never imagine. He will bless your heart so much that it will overflow. Your heart will overflow. I hope today as we come into this Christmas season, the beginning of Advent, as we look at the candle of hope, I hope today as we think about the beginning that we have the opportunity to have a new beginning in Christ, each and every one of us. We have the opportunity, maybe we've made that first step, maybe we've made the second step, but maybe there's four or five more steps that need to be made. You have that opportunity, folks, to be drawn closer to Christ, to desire to work for Christ. You have this opportunity. He is inviting you to come and to be close to him and let him pour out upon you this grace that is offered to each and every one of us. It's not just offered to me. It's offered to you and to me. The same. The very same. His son died for you. died for me. It's a matter of will we accept it? Or will we try our very best to be better each day and not ever obtain that desire that's in our heart and mind that we should be? Accept it, folks. Accept that grace and move closer to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen to him when he speaks to you in this still small voice, for he is the prophet. We will learn more about him in the coming days at a theater near you, as Brian says. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.